We're heading into movie award season. The Golden Globes are January 6th, and one film nominated and getting a lot of buzz is If Beale Street Could Talk, director Barry Jenkins' follow-up to his Oscar-winning Moonlight, up for 3 Golden Globes, including Best Motion Picture Drama. It's based on a James Baldwin story set in 1970s Harlem. Kiki Layne stars as Tish, whose lover Fonny has been accused of rape. Their situation is further complicated by news Tish's mother, played by Regina King, delivers at the film's opening.
This is a sacrament. And no, I ain't lost my mind. We are drinking to new life. Tish gonna have Fonny's baby.
If Beale Street Could Talk is just one of the films that Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr says highlights a trend he's been seeing this year, great performances by women in film, and he joins us in the studio. Ty, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So we started noticing this as well, last year even.
Sure.
But there do seem to be even more great performances by women this year.
Yeah, I think while there are still problems in the executive suites and behind the director's chair, their roles are strong for inquisitive actresses, women actors. It's been a good year. We could run down a long, long list. I think we're going to be talking about some of them today.
Let's do a short one. Obviously, as we just heard in Beale Street, you have a mother, a daughter who's pregnant. So obviously, we've got some strong characters there. Tell us about Beale Street.
This is a movie, really a portrait of a family and kind of two families and a community as well in 1970s Harlem and New York City in Greenwich Village. And the scene that we heard, the mother, who really is the strong linchpin of that family, played by Regina King, in a really terrific, warm, loving performance. Kiki Layne, as the daughter, is a young actress who just embodies the innocence and the hope of this film. I should also mention Tiona Paris, who plays her kind of wised-up sister, who's more of a social activist. Anjanou Ellis plays Kiki Layne's mother-in-law, who's a very cold, forbidding Bible thumper. Mm-hmm. The movie has its balance between male and female performances, but the female performances are really the rock of the film, as they are of the families that they're illustrating.
Okay, that's If Beale Street Could Talk. Let's move on to someone we noticed early on. Great newcomer, Thomasin Harcourt McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
She stars in Deborah Granik's film Leave No Trace. She plays Tom, a girl living off the grid and in the woods with her dad, played by Ben Foster, a veteran with PTSD. In this scene, she's been separated from her dad and put into foster care, and other girls are asking her what she's doing there.
I wasn't where I was supposed to be, so they took me away. Well, they don't think I was where I was supposed to be.
Okay, where were you?
With my dad, in the park.
So you were homeless then?
No.
Why else would you be living in the woods? Okay, if you had a home, they wouldn't have brought you here.
Well, they just don't understand that it was my home.
Just a gripping film. And we spoke with director Deborah Granik, who finds new actresses. She picked Jennifer Lawrence to star in 2010's Winter's Bone.
That's right.
So she knows what she's doing. Tell us more what you thought about Thomasin McKenzie's performance.
Well, I thought it was one of a handful of really strong performances by young actresses, including Elsie Fisher in Eighth Grade.
We had her on recently. We'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. She was amazing.
Yeah. What I love about Thomasin McKenzie's performance, this is an actress, I believe, from New Zealand. She's not from around here. She's utterly believable. And the fascinating thing about this movie is that you see her grow up in this movie. She doesn't physically grow. She's sort of a tall, rangy adolescent. But she seems to age from 11 to 16 in terms of maturity and into who she becomes from a child to a young woman, part of which involves sort of passing her father in the road of life and realizing that she has to take control of her own destiny, which for her is clearly a hard, hard, hard decision to make.
Yeah.
And you see that in the performance without histrionics, but just in the very natural playing of it.
Lovely, quiet movie. And by the way, based on a true story,
yes.
I should say. You also want to talk about a performance that's gotten a lot of attention. Lady Gaga in A Star is Born. She plays Allie, a would-be singer. Huh. Opposite Bradley Cooper, who plays Jack, an established musician and an alcoholic. Bradley Cooper also directed. Let's listen to a scene, Allie singing a song that she's written to Jack.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore?
Is that me?
That's you.
You just write that now?
Yeah.
Well, he really did steal Sam Elliott's voice for that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Look, this is the fourth iteration. In the original, Frederick March, Janet Gaynor, then James Mason, Judy Garland, Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand, and now we have Bradley Cooper. And Lady Gaga, what do you think of her?
I think she's a pop star, but pop stars don't necessarily translate into movie stars. They do different things. They have different skill sets. They have different briefs. If it was easily transversible, Madonna would be the movie star that she always wanted to be. Somehow, Gaga, Stephanie Germanotta, makes it. She becomes a believable other person before turning into a rock star, a more recognizable rock star. To me, the first hour of The New Star is Born is some of the best American filmmaking of the year. It feels intimate. It feels real. You feel the connection between Bradley Cooper's character and Lady Gaga's character. I love that scene where she's singing La Vie en Rose. She lies on the bar and she turns to face the camera and Bradley Cooper, and it's just this A Star is Born moment.
Do you think we're going to see Lady Gaga again, or do you think this is a one-off because it's a singer?
I think we'll see her again. Huh. I don't know what kind of range she has as an actress. I think if it's a narrow range, she can do great things in that narrow range.
Yeah.
But I think she's a very, very talented individual in many areas, and that's kind of exciting. I have no idea what she's going to do next. It might be something totally chuckle-headed. It might be something really interesting. That's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. You also wanted to talk about Melissa McCarthy, a great comic actress in films like Bridesmaids. But in Can You Ever Forgive Me, she plays Lee Israel, a real-life author turned literary forgerer. Here's a scene where she begins to befriend Jack, played by Richard E. Grant, who will become her partner in crime.
You're friends with, Julia
Steinberg?
Yeah.
She's not an agent anymore. She died.
She did? Jesus, that's young.
Maybe she didn't die. Maybe she just moved back to the suburbs. I was confused there, too. No, that's right. She got married and had twins.
Better to have died.
Indeed.
It's still funny, but more dramatic. Your thoughts?
It's a rich, deep character. The whole movie is that sort of delightfully mean. And it's about New Yorkers who are scarred survivors and will do anything to keep going and have that sort of curdled charm. McCarthy, who we're used to seeing in these big splattery roles in which she is, can be very funny and very precise sometimes in her comedy. Here it's a character role, and she disappears into that character, and she makes you believe that this woman who's a middle-aged writer who, you know, had a girlfriend years ago, but nobody wants to have anything to do with her. She's impoverished. She's unpleasant. And yet she has this pride of work that eventually extends to her forging letters from famous authors, in which she eventually begins to think that's her work. She's taking pride in that work. It's a really, really measured, smart, soulful performance that leaves you with a lot of mixed emotions, which is what good acting should do.
Well, we're going to have your whole list at hereandnow.org. But give us some other, you know, thoughts. Just, you mentioned Eighth Grade, terrific film about being in eighth grade, wince-inducing and wonderful, and Elsie Fisher stars in that. But other women that, you know, really made you think this was the year of the woman.
Well, if you go look at Yorgos Lanthimos's The Favorite, with a trio of incredible performances by Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and the incomparable Olivia Colman as Queen Anne, as you have never seen her, a royal monster. Those are three great performances, and I'm tickled by watching the various award groups trying to figure out which one's a leading actress and which one's a supporting actress. They're all leads. They're all wonderful. Mm-hmm. There is a wonderful Japanese movie called Shoplifters that came out this year, and you can, if it's not streaming now, it will be soon. It's an ensemble piece, but there's an actress named Sakura Ando in it who plays a very hard-bitten, impoverished mother who ends up taking in a young girl, toddler, and kind of becoming human again. And that sounds like the kind of thing, if Hollywood ever remakes it, it'll be a bath of tears. Mm-hmm. But she plays it so finely, so realistically, so humanly that it's one of the best performances I've seen all year. Really? It's just really good stuff.
Shoplifters. Yeah. What about Roma, by the way?
Roma, there is, again, a wonderful movie that everybody, including myself, is urging people to see in a movie theater if they can, because it is gorgeous black and white cinematography. It's available on Netflix. And it is about a nanny in 1970s Mexico City, played by a newcomer named Yalitza Aparicio. It's a quiet performance, and it's the kind of performance that you can, if you're really not paying attention, can write off as, oh, she's just being herself. It's a very, very finely observed, finely calibrated performance of a woman who nobody really notices and takes for granted.
Well, and by the way, you think, oh, she might be playing herself. Do I understand this was a first time for her? She came to an audition and...
She came to the audition that her sister dragged her along to, that her sister wanted to audition for and ended up getting the role.
Yep.
But the danger there is to see, you know, this actress as kind of a found object. It's a performance of real intelligence, heart, spirit. It's all there, but just very, very carefully laid out.
I can't wait. Roma. Shoplifters, eighth grade, just so much. We'll have it all at herenow.org. Women in Film in 2018, Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Thanks as always.
Thank you.